Welcome to the Watering Hole Podcast. I'm your host, Mary Riemann. The Watering Hole is a place to come and quench your thirst for meaning, nourish your hunger for inspiration, and feed your need for connection. Featuring inspirational talks, curious conversations, mystical meditations, and other artistic expressions, exploring themes on life, spirituality, nature, mystery, and so much more. So meet me at the watering hole, and together, let's drink from deep waters.
So one of the things I think is important for you to know about Joanna Macy is that there was a very long time in her life where she refused to use the word hope. She said, I hated that word. She said, I believed that hope, she goes, I would say things like, hope kills. Hope distracts. Well, we know what kind of hope she's talking about. She's talking about wishful thinking. She's talking about those times when we sit in front of our TV and out of our anger and reactivity, we're armchair warrioring it. Thank you. Whoever said that. Thank you. You know? We have all the answers. We throw our opinions. We know what we should do, what we ought to do. But we just give voice to it, and we don't actually do anything about it. And sometimes I think it's that wishful thinking that is somewhat debilitating for us, because these are turbulent times. These are turbulent times. These are times where you and I feel the dis-ease of humanity. Times when every day we wake up and there's another crisis. And most of us don't know what to do about it. Most of us don't even know what to do with our feelings about it. And this is one of the things I love. This is one of the points she makes about this. The fact that we feel. The fact that we feel despair. The fact that we feel depressed. The fact that we feel upset about what's unfolding in this world is proof of our compassion, is proof of our interconnectedness. If we didn't care, we wouldn't feel it. If we didn't care, we wouldn't notice. But we do. And you know as well as I know that there are many of us walking around with a low-grade disillusionment, a low-grade depression, really, a low-grade despair, because it seems overwhelming, these problems that we face. And that's why I think it's important to remember, like she said, that the problems we face are mind-made, human-made. And if we made them, we can dismantle them. And to me, that's hopeful, because I have that line of thinking that happens to me, and maybe it comes from my feeling of hopelessness at times, that the problems that we face are so big that we couldn't possibly make an impact. But they're not bigger than us. They are not bigger than us. And it's important for us to hold on to that. But that means we got to know who we are, and I'm going to come back to that in a second. I love this quote: when you're in the middle of a big adventure, you don't have time to decide whether you're hopeful or hopeless. All your energy should be right here in the moment, right? I mean, just imagine if someone stopped Frodo and Sam on the way and they were like, hey, feeling hopeful? Feeling optimistic? You know what they would be like? I got something to do. I'm on my way. Get out of my way. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. In some cases, it doesn't matter if we're hopeful or not. The fact is, we are here. We are here, and it's not a mistake that we're here. We were born at this time for a reason. You think that this 14 billion year process brought you here by accident and that you're alive and awake at this time and this troubled time for no reason? No. We're here because it matters. It matters what we do. It matters what we say. It matters how we say it. It matters. Yes. And the fact is, and maybe we don't want to hear this, but the fact is we are capable of suffering with our world. We are capable of suffering with our world. And that, my friends, is actually the true meaning of compassion. And as Joanna Macy herself says, it enables us to recognize our profound interconnectedness with all beings. And so she says, don't ever apologize for crying for the trees burning in the Amazon or over the waters polluted from the mines in the Rockies. Don't apologize for sorrow or grief or the rage you feel. It is a measure of your humanity and your maturity. It is a measure of your open heart. And as our hearts break open, there is room for the world to heal. And that is what happens and is happening when we see people honestly confronting the sorrows of our time. And that's a key phrase. Confronting the sorrows of our time. We have such a negative connotation with the word confront. God, we have such a negative connotation. You've heard me say it. I'm going to say it again. Confront, when you break the word down, means with face. And when we face each other, we're heart to heart. So we've got to call out the darkness and despair. We've got to call it out. We've got to say, wait a minute, this isn't right. It's not about just keeping our mouths shut anymore. We have got to say these things and shed light on these things. And say, that's a humanity that I don't want to see get more power. I want the humanity that loves. That's the core of our humanity. And so when we don't see humans acting in a loving way, it's time that we called it out. And we held up a mirror and we ourselves model what that means. That's the Shambhala warrior. And we have evidence of it. We know what it's like to feel like we're a Shambhala warrior. Recall when we got on that bus, women of TLC, and went to DC? Did you not feel alive? Did you not feel hopeful? Because we did something. We put our bodies where our mouths were, and we actually did something. This kingdom that her friend, whose name I could not even dare to pronounce, is the same kingdom that JC talked about. And they talked about it in the same way. Jesus said the kingdom is within. It's within. It comes from within us. And that kingdom isn't a place on a map, and it's not somewhere the faithful go to get their heavenly reward. The kingdom comes when we act with love and compassion and insight. And we, all of us, know what it feels like. It's the feeling of being accepted, welcomed after we've been rejected. It's being held in our sorrow. It's being comforted when we're lost. It's being received in loving arms without somebody having an expectation that we live in, that we live into, that we can just be who we are. So we've got to ground ourselves in this realization, in genuine awareness of our mutual belonging in the web of life. And when we do that, that itself is good, strong medicine for the healing of our world. Because we remember that I am you and you are me. Your struggles are my struggles. Your desires are my desires. There is no separation. And so we've got to confront the darkness of our times. That's what warriors do. And yet, we need places where we can come and practice, right? She said, now is the time for warriors to be in training. And so we need communities of practice where we can come and learn how to care for each other and tend to each other and be there for each other. Because this is the practice. And it's not easy here. If you've been on a committee, you know it's not easy to actually enact this thing we're talking about, this kingdom we're talking about. It's not easy. We have differing opinions, different ideas about how to get things done. And so we've got to be committed to bringing out the best in each other. And when we start going down the rabbit hole of blame or this isn't happening in the right way, or you know, our frustration leads us to get angry about I'm doing all the work, nobody's helping me, those kind of things, then it's time to step back. Take a deep breath. Remember that the people you're on the committee with, you love, or you want to. And that part of our being here, you're sitting here in these seats today, is your commitment to become the human being you want to be, to become forgiving, to become compassionate, to become strong, to become resilient, to not take things personally. Because that's when things actually get done. And it doesn't matter then. It doesn't matter then if we succeed or fail. Because the intention is to be the very thing you're trying to do. So if I want to have more conversation and dialogue with people, I got to model it. I've got to create the space. I've got to welcome it. I've got to learn to shut up and listen. Stop interrupting. Just practice that this week. Don't interrupt anybody this week. Just practice that. I'm talking to myself. Just practice that. It's not easy. It's not an easy time. It is not easy. It requires heart, strength, resilience, determination, persistence. It requires wisdom. But the truth is, this world isn't going to heal without us. We can't wait for some off-planet God to send his kid down and make everything right. We can't wait for the Lone Ranger. That's one of Joanna's lines. We can't wait. We can't wait for a different president or a different politician or a different leader. Those things don't fucking matter. And you know it as much as I do. Our call is to do it right here where we are. And if you think that there's no arena for you to put your toe in and try to be the warrior, bring up a controversial subject and keep your cool. and foster that conversation. One of my greatest fears of this time is that we're squelching conversation that would actually connect us because we're afraid that we're going to offend somebody or being offended ourselves. We got to drop that shit, you guys. We've got to drop it. We've got to drop it. We've got to be able to have difficult conversations where we are on opposite sides, and yet we're curious about how you got there. And so we ask questions instead of imposing our view, and we listen. And that's a craft, and we can work on it. We can work on it. This week, when you're in conversation with someone and you find yourself wanting to just, you know, respond quickly back, stop yourself for a minute and instead come up with a question to ask, to learn further, to go deeper, and watch it unfold. I experiment with this all the time, sometimes better than others. And I have yet to see it turn bad. It makes more space, makes more room. And that's how compassion grows, because our perspective grows. Our hearts and minds grow. And we don't have to do everything. I think that's another thing that happens to us when we're overwhelmed. We don't have to do everything. Do what calls your heart. Effective action comes from love. It's unstoppable, and it is enough. It is enough. What that says is let go of doing things out of obligation and duty. We do more harm when we do things from that perspective, because now we're bringing in our pride. We're bringing in our belief that we know better. When we come from love, we come from that expansive place, that flexible place, that place of movement and change. And we can do that. We do it. We do. Because that's who we are. At our deepest level, that's who we are. Right? We are action. We are action. So we've got to let go of this idea that I got to do it all. I got to be at the march. I got to be at the rally. I got to be at the protest. I got to be on this committee. I got to do. Slow down. Trust your fellow humans. Because if we all listen to our heart, think about how different the world would be. When we slow down and we tune in to our heart, we're tuning into the heart of the world. There's only one heart. It beats in all life. And when we tune into that in ourselves, then we get wisdom. That's where the wisdom comes from. And we get prompted to move, to look into one thing, to check out another thing, to pursue our curiosities, to pursue our passions. And it's through those pursuing those things, Brian Swim would call them allurements, that we bring the universe together. By pursuing our passions, we actually bring the universe together. So Joanna Macy, she doesn't use the word hope. Now she uses the term active hope, because hope is an action. It's not something you have. It's something we do. And she said the good news of that is that we can do it even when we are hopeless. Because again, it doesn't depend on whether we're going to succeed or not. It depends on our motivation, our intention. And if our motivation is to connect, then by actually connecting with someone, having coffee with someone, having tea, we do it. If our motivation is greater peace, and we bring greater peace in ourselves to whatever we're doing, we're actually doing it. And because of the interconnectivity of all existence, we can trust that it ripples out. And we may never see it. And probably many of us have had the experience of our actions rippling out without our knowledge. 10 years after we've taught a class, somebody comes back to us and says, "That class changed me." 2 years after you work on a retreat with young people, you see a young person on a college campus and they come running to you and they remember you, and you don't remember them, but your life touched them. We have these experiences, and those are the experiences we need to remember, because they remind us that what we do matters, that what we do does have effects beyond what we can see. And that's good news, you guys. It doesn't matter if it looks bad. It looks kind of bad out there, right? It doesn't matter if I think the glass is half empty right now. What matters is if I want there to be more love, that I bring that love with me to everything I do. If I want there to be more peace, I bring that peace with me wherever I do. And I look for ways to expand my understanding of what that is and how it manifests in all kinds of environments. All kinds of environments. Meister Eckhart said that in the heart of all things, there is isness. Isness. That's a verb. That's a verb to be. We are verbs. We are verbs. We are action. Embodied action. Buckminster Fuller in 1970 wrote a book, and he said, the title of it is, he's an interesting guy. I think I might do him, not do him. That's not right. That wouldn't work out well for any of us. But I might look into his words. He might be a wisdom figure we look at. But he wrote a book, I Seem to Be a Verb, and he said, I live on earth at present, and I don't know what I am. I know that I'm not a category, I'm not a thing, a noun. I seem to be a verb, an evolutionary process, an integral function of the universe. An integral function of the universe. Do you need more meaning? Do you need more meaning? Let's be that. Let's be our best selves. Let's be the best action we can be. And let's practice it here. And let's go deep, you guys. Let's go deep. Let's stand in those places where we're uncomfortable. Because if you think that this world is going to wait for us to get comfortable, you might as well give it up now. Life is uncertainty. Stop expecting it to be static. It is uncertain. So learn how to dance. Learn how to dance, because that's how we're going to get through, and that's how we're going to get through with joy and beauty and well-being. And our hearts are big enough to do this. We can hold despair and active hope at the same time. We can hold sadness and still experience joy. We can grieve and still trust in the goodness of life. Make a commitment to be a warrior and wake up every day and say, this life is good, and I'm going to protect that goodness by being it. everywhere I go. Macy's book, Act of Hope, begins with what she calls was a riff that one of her friends wrote down. So to me, that's where she just let it come through. And this is what she says. Act of hope is not wishful thinking. Act of hope is not waiting to be rescued by the Lone Ranger or by some savior. Act of hope is waking up to the beauty of life on whose behalf we can act. We belong to this world. The web of life is calling us forth at this time. We've come a long way to play our part. With Act of Hope, we realize that there are adventures in store, strengths to discover, comrades to link arms with. Act of Hope is a readiness to discover the strengths in ourselves and in others. A readiness to discover the reasons for hope and the occasions for love. A readiness to discover the size and strength of our hearts, our quickness of mind, our steadiness of purpose, our own authority, our love for life, the liveliness of our curiosity, the unsuspected deep well of patience and diligence, the keenness of our senses, and our capacity to lead. And none of these can be discovered in an armchair or without risk.
Thanks for listening, everybody. I look forward to meeting you right back here at the watering hole. And as Mary Oliver said, go easy, be filled with light, and shine.